So we have Paul. Paul, who received a vision. A vision that was to send the gospel message for the first time into Europe. This was Paul's second journey. Now, we've been talking a little bit, or I have, about vision, about what that we need to have one, and maybe it needs to look like this, and maybe we need to have these steps in it. But we've had a lot of conversation around vision. Well, Paul originally had a vision as well to go into East Asia, but God kept blocking that East Asian trip and instead sent him this vision to go to Macedonia. Now, it's important for us to realize in the midst of this vision, Paul heard a man speak to him. A man of Macedonia asked him to come to this place and proclaim God's word. So this would be the first time that the gospel message was heard on European soil. So the scripture, Luke gives us this wonderful triptych that Paul and his missionaries with him, his, the other disciples, went. They weren't on one of those Caribbean cruise ships. They were in that little boat with a sail, and they headed off, and they had a grand time, but we know they finally got to shore. And when they arrived in these places as strangers, now for us, Paul's no stranger. We know who Paul is. We're not quite certain we know who Lydia is, but we do know who Paul is. So he's not a stranger to us. He gets there, and they travel about the city for a few days, and he realizes then, within the city, there is no pocket of Jewish community that prays together. There's no designated, this is where we meet on the Sabbath. So the Sabbath comes, and he and the disciples begin to look for where do we go to gather with fellow Jews that we can give them for the very first time the message of Christ. So they go along the river, and instead of finding men gathered, they find women at prayer. And Paul proclaims Christ's message. And what's significant about this is Lydia is the very first European convert to Christianity. When she accepts Christ that day and she and her household are baptized, it is the beginning of the movement of Christianity in the European continent. So it's an important day in the life of the church, but it's an important day in Lydia's life. Now remember, we sometimes have visions that take us in one direction and God takes us in another. When Paul was proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ, he was proclaiming it to a very patriarchal community. The leaders of any household, the leaders of any business, all tended to be men. And here we hear the story of Lydia. We do not hear Lydia and, we hear the story of Lydia. We find out that Lydia is a woman who had lived elsewhere, brought her business into Philippi, and her business was purple cloth. And today we might not understand the significance of that, but purple dye was the most expensive dye you could make. You made it out of oyster shells. So anyone who made purple cloth had a very expensive upfront cost before they sold their fabric. And the reason why purple was the fabric of royalty, the only people who could afford it were kings and rulers and governmental officials who had the finance to afford purple cloth, which is why the church at the early stages had purple as the Advent color, coming of the king. So Lydia is a woman, not only a big businesswoman, she probably also ran in those governmental circles. This is a very important woman in the business world. And there she is, eager to hear God's word. We know we're told she's a Gentile. So she's not Jewish by birth, but she's gathering with Jewish women who are praying. She's seeking God. And Paul, following God's vision for him to go where he is sent, never saying no, going where God calls him to go, arrives on that waterfront, shares the gospel message, and Lydia becomes a Christian. But it's significant, the very first thing she does after her household is baptized, she urges them, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. Lydia's first response to the gift of salvation is the gift of hospitality. She opens her home to Paul, the stranger, and all those who came with him so that they can have food and rest. And Lydia's house becomes a place that they gather often. It becomes a house church. If you follow in the story in Acts, even after he's in prison and he converts the guard, the place they go to is Lydia's home. Lydia embodies hospitality. It is the first act she does as a follower of Jesus Christ, is to open her home. When I was studying this particular scripture, one of the writers that I studied said, God opened her heart, and immediately she opened her home. We, as brothers and sisters in Christ, talk about family, talk about being connected. We are to engage in hospitality. It is one of the things that we are called to do, that we are called to make our homes a place of hospitality, to make God's home a place of hospitality. Remember, if we think about Jesus, what was Jesus doing as he moved from place to place? He ate with Pharisees. He ate with Zacchaeus. He ate at the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. He was always seeking places where he could be in the home of someone. People shared their hospitality so that the gospel message, the gospel itself, could step into their homes. In Acts chapter 2, we hear that the way that Christians act is we greet one another with a holy kiss. We share our material possessions. We meet in homes. We eat together. And when appropriate, we even discipline each other. But what we do is show the hospitality of God, God's love for one another. Hospitality is costly. Hospitality requires that we have a certain level of intimacy, which means a level of vulnerability when we share our homes. But hospitality also offers a place of rest. And I had thought hard about this issue of hospitality and community and followers of Jesus Christ, and how the central aspect of being a community, of being one body, is sharing love for one another. And the way we do that is to be hospitable, to open hearts, open minds, open doors, to open ourselves to a relationship with others, whether they're others we know and are close to and feel safe with, and maybe some that we don't quite feel so safe with. So I thought about Plank Chapel and my level of being a hospitable person. And I realized I only open my home about twice a year to open houses. So twice a year it gets cleaned. No, three times, because there's the parsonage inspection. So three times a year it gets cleaned. But that's one of those issues around hospitality, isn't it? We have to clean the house if we're going to have people in. But then I thought, how many of you decorate for holidays? Spend a lot of money decorating for holidays. I don't decorate for holidays. But I noticed, if you haven't noticed, but I've noticed, I'm forever decorating our fellowship hall. And the decorations change. The arrangements of the tables and chairs change. Why? Why do I do that? Why do I talk to the worship committee and talk about our sanctuary and different things we do here? Because I want you to feel welcomed. I want, when you walk in, to feel like you've come home. Because this is God's home. This is God's home. And I want, as you step in, to step into that place and know that you have found an intimate relationship with God, that the space is welcoming and exciting, because God wants us here, wants us to show that hospitality to one another. I've realized I fed you more here than I fed you in my own home. But I also realize we do some other things that are very hospitable. We have Senior Circle. We have Four Seasons Cafe. Now we have Thursday Night Crafters. We have Faith and Fitness. Other places where we open this place so that those who are retired have a place to come and not feel so alone and isolated. Because the practice of hospitality, to engage in hospitality, is a costly thing. It means that we have to plan ahead. Sometimes we can do things on the spur of the moment. I can tell you, if I walk into Roxy Kearney's home and she's putting a meal on her table, I'm invited. And she has enough. Some of us can't do that spur of the moment, share what we got. Some of us need to plan ahead and invite people in. Especially Sunday noontime is a great time to invite one another in. Because when we invite one another in, we get to share not only what happened in worship and kind of that crazy preacher who couldn't remember one thing from the next, but you get to share the message, you get to share time and space with one another. But also, I thought about neighbors. I've been at Roxy's table. Roxy's been over my house for open houses, but I haven't invited Marvin in. I haven't invited, and I look at this, I don't know my neighbor's name. Marvin's daughter, stepdaughter. I haven't invited her in. There are people who are my neighbors I haven't been hospitable to. So I got this book, Hospitality Commands, 10 Hospitality Commands, and it talked about doing these things, to plan ahead, to make community, to invite your neighbors, especially holiday seasons, invite people in, even invite to open your home to missionaries, or maybe even field ed students, or even on Sunday mornings to have a hospitality program, so that between Sunday school and worship, we have coffee and treats and maybe we'd have more in Sunday school because they knew that they'd get treats. Or maybe people would come early to get the treats and we'd get to talk and chat. And that he suggested we be creative about our activities. We don't just have to come over and have Bible study or come over, it's a parsonage, we're having movie night. We can have scripture reading. We can have prayer. We can sing if your guests are singers. We can even go for a walk. But I thought very long and hard about this issue of community and hospitality. That if we're only hospitable at crisis, are we as welcoming and hospitable as we should be? Might our neighbors come into our pews because we welcome them first into our homes? Might it make more sense for us to be like the old house church and begin to foster relationships and communities in our homes so that they know us to be followers of Jesus Christ and want to join us as we worship in God's home? I have heard again and again how friendly and welcoming and open we are as a church. Maybe the next challenge for us, and I'm saying for us because I got to clean my house more than 3 times if I do this. We've got to open our homes. Some of us can, some of us can't. But there are other ways that we can share in the hospitality for this community to know Christ's love. Think about Lydia's first act when she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She opened her home to strangers. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.